Welcome back. You're listening to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. 2005, you may recall, was quite the year for mysterious conservative Christian organisations. As the election approached, a number of such groups were working and networking in pursuit of their goal. We'd have known a lot less about who they were, what they said, and what they were doing without the Fundy Post. Under the banner, "We read this stuff so you don't have to," the Fundy Post kept a growing group of readers up to date. Its founder, Paul Litterick's great gotcha, concerned the self-described think tank, the Maxim Institute. Maxim had for several years enjoyed great success in placing opinion pieces in the local print media. But that all changed when Litterick discovered that the opinions of Maxim leader Bruce Logan were something less than his own. Logan had plagiarised overseas commentators in his newspaper pieces, as indeed had his daughter, Alexis Stewart. She copied from her father for a column in the press. Although Logan later stepped down, Maxim's credibility has never really recovered. The Post began as a downloadable newsletter on the website of the New Zealand Association of Rationalists and Humanists, but, and therein lies a tale, it is now a proper Blogspot blog. Litterick, ever the cheerful atheist, covers new thought and literature and, as ever, the views of religious conservatives. He joins us now. Paul, welcome. Now, you're not from around these parts. What's your background?
I came here about 9 years ago from England. My background there was as an art historian by education and also a civil servant. I worked for the Ministry of Defence doing various odd things. Can't talk about. Latterly, I ran the Ministry of Defence's art collection.
Oh, that must have been interesting. I didn't know the Ministry of Defence had an art collection. What's it consist of?
Nobody did. Lots of naval battles and admirals and lots of really nice things, actually. First paintings of New Zealand, actually, are in the Ministry of Defence art collection, the ones that were done on Cook's first voyage. I sort of put it all together into an art collection rather than just a load of pictures lying around, and so when I came here, I sort of changed direction rather.
Right. Well, I wonder. And then you came here, as you say. I mean, did New Zealand strike you as a congenial place for unbelievers?
Yeah, a lot more than England, I think. There's a general, I think, indifference to and acceptance at the same time of people's beliefs. There's not the sense of an established religiosity or established both in the sense of being an official church as there is in Britain, but also established in the sense of religious concerns being paramount in the way that they are in Britain. The Times in Britain has a huge section of its website devoted to religion and to its print paper as well in the way that a New Zealand paper wouldn't do.
Whereas we've never really been great churchgoers from the beginning, actually, here.
No, and there's always been, because people came here from different parts of Britain and then from different parts of Europe, and the people had different religious traditions, and a lot of people, I suspect, were trying to get away from their backgrounds rather than recreate them here.
I like the first draft of a piece you were asked to write for Crackham about atheism. From memory, it read in full: "Atheists do not believe in gods, full stop. That's about it, full stop." That certainly has the virtue of simplicity.
Yes, I like to. So, some ways, if you get involved in arguments and start defining your atheism, you get onto this, you're always on the theist's ground. And I'm frequently being accused of being an agnostic or something else. And because those sorts of arguments, I think, are confined to, it's not just a strategy of mine, it's these sort of arguments are ones about metaphysics. And I don't think there's much, really, to my own atheism, more than the fact that, you know, I don't have a belief in gods.
Now, Richard Dawkins did go into those issues in copious detail in The God Delusion, and he wound up with some sympathy for the Einsteinian God, which is really just the feeling that it's okay to have a sense of awe at the universe as it's revealed to us daily by science. What do you think of that?
Well, that the Einsteinian God's an amazing sort of very flexible creature. That everybody seems to talk about Einstein's beliefs constantly, and the rationalists and humanists were talking about it not so long ago. And it's one of these things that, for me, I'm not that bothered what Einstein thinks. Einstein's greatness is in the maths. which I don't pretend to understand, but I mean, in what he says about the universe and his religious beliefs, because he's a scientist, his religious beliefs are irrelevant as such. It's only the science that controls. But as to the Einstein's sort of pantheistic, I guess, sort of, yeah, sense of awe at the universe is, I think, fine, but I wouldn't take it any further than that. It's just something that people feel.
People who publicly say the things that you do are quite frequently accused by believers of being militant. Do you think of yourself as a militant atheist?
I think much less so than people like Dawkins, because I think my notions of religion are very much concerned with the fact that it's a public thing and it's historical and sociological. The people hold religious beliefs because they come from particular communities or because they want to be parts of particular communities and things like that. And I think I always feel it's rather bad taste to insult people's religion in that way, because you're insulting them as people, and that's not a thought thing. And some rationalists, I think, atheists, they're very fiercely against religion, and I think there's a danger of just insulting people rather than dealing with arguments. I'm fine with people having religious beliefs.
Anyway, on the blog, you're still reading that stuff, so we don't have to, but I get the impression you actually enjoy reading some of that stuff.
Yes, I do. Yes. I mean, it's... Sometimes I have to step back from it because it gets a bit weird when you end up in long discussions on blogs about things that, particularly when it gets down to issues of sexuality, as it so often does, that you're endlessly talking about homosexuality or contraception and so on, and really, these discussions aren't had outside those blogs, and they're quite odd discussions because of the people's views that are being contributed. And sometimes I feel I do have to step back because it sort of crowds out your mind.
Some people listening are going to think, well, why not step back entirely? Why does the guy bother? Why not just let people have their own conversations and believe what they want?
That's a good point. And the only way it matters to me is in the public political sphere. I'm more of a secularist than anything else. I just think that these sorts of arguments shouldn't be affecting the vast majority of people who don't share them. And there's always a difficulty with arguments that are put over as being matters of faith or matters of, say, Christian heritage of the nation and so on, therefore we must do these things, that they will take precedence over the views and the freedoms of everybody else.
Did you take particular offence at Maxim because it presented itself as a scientific organisation?
Yes, and as a think tank and as a serious concerned citizen sort of thing. It just struck me from the start as being bogus, and as things turned out, it was thoroughly so.
Hmm. Now, another story you've chronicled on the blog is your falling out with your former employer, the New Zealand Association of Rationalists and Humanists. It makes good reading, but why did you decide to make it public in that way?
I really wish I hadn't had to, but after I had reached a settlement with them over my job and so on, I thought that'd be the end of it, and then they made it a matter of... at the next annual general meeting, at which I found myself being expelled from the association, which was rather dramatic, because that doesn't often happen. But they made it a matter of continuing the fight in order to, I guess, to keep their membership happy. And so I had no means of communicating with the membership, so I used the blog to do it. And also because I was hearing from other people, from other bloggers, people saying, you're falling out with the rationalists, what's going on here?
I guess it shows that humanists can have religious wars too.
Yes, absolutely, yes, and there's a lot about that, that some of these things do come down to matters of theology.
Paul Litterick there, and you can read the Fundy Post at fundypost.blogspot.com. We'll be back after the break with a look at scoop.co.nz.